Radio.
Well, hi there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the Being Catholic Going Deeper weekly podcast for Catholic educators. Got some good stuff for you here this week. Hopefully you had a chance to listen to last week's podcast about extravagance. And I talked about Mary washing the feet of Jesus and anointing his feet with pure nard. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it, because we talked about being extravagant as Catholic educators, of really just giving our best to God, being generous. And just this morning at Adoration, I was reading came across the story of Jesus in the temple, where he sees the wealthy, you know, giving their gifts out of abundance and their wealth. And he sees this old widow come up and give two small copper coins. And he says, you know, to the disciples, he says, this woman has done so much more than all of them. And I was really studying that scripture. You know, all of them combined is how it translates, that those two little coins meant more to God than everybody and all that had been given that day. And he simply said, because she gave out of her poverty. She gave and it was hard to give. They gave out of abundance. It was much easier. So this work you do, this vocation of Catholic education, you know, just give. Just give out of what you've got. Be generous, you know. And I'm sure you already are, because it's like no other job in the world. You know, you're giving emotionally and spiritually to these young people. And I just, as I did last week, I want to encourage you to do that. I'm convinced that changing culture, making a difference in the world, partnering in our small way with bringing about the kingdom of God comes through great Catholic teachers. I think if we got great Catholic teachers, then we reach young people and create great, authentic Catholic school communities, because it drives me insane when we have Catholic schools that are just not Catholic. I mean, I'm at a point now where I can just say that. For years, I didn't want to offend anybody, but now I still don't want to offend anybody, really. I mean, deliberately, but if you are offended, then you're going to have to deal with that. But basically, I just want to say, we don't want schools that are weak. We don't want schools that are just no different to other schools around them. We want schools that are dynamic, authentic, sacramental, Christ-focused schools where individual teachers have their hearts converted and they are living catechisms that students can read and see the person of Jesus in the staff around them. And if our schools don't look like that, then what are we doing? Seriously. I mean, I just want to challenge all of us that and I got three young children now. I want to be able to send them to a Catholic school knowing that the staff are Christ-focused and holy people. So if that sounds too difficult or like it's never going to happen, then I believe it can. We're just going to keep working at it together. And that's why we created this podcast and the Going Deeper program. Another school just signed up about an hour ago. Another school's joined, the hundreds of schools around the world using Going Deeper. So if you're not familiar with the Going Deeper program, make sure you check under the podcast here. There'll be a link to this amazing online staff formation program that's just growing so fast around the world. Now, this week, I'm going to talk about something challenging again. Now, this is the challenging podcast, right? So if you don't like to be challenged, if you like everything to be easy and comfortable, then turn me off and get the Oprah podcast, because the Oprah or the Dr. Phil podcast will make you feel much better about everything. This one's going to challenge us to grow. And I said last week that what I do is I go to Adoration most mornings, and I was there this morning at 4:30 in the morning. That's the only time I can make it work, and you got to read the Gospels, right? So as I shared in last week's podcast, this great Carmelite priest taught me, you know, in his last retreat that to pray is to know Jesus, and also to know Jesus, you have to know the Gospels, because he referred to them as the memoirs of the apostles, of the men that lived with him up close and know what he said and how he lived and how he acted. So if we want to know Jesus, we have to know the Gospels. And Pope Francis just said you got to read them every day. You know, even if it's just one little paragraph, one little parable every day, don't go to bed without having read just a tiny bit of the Gospel every day. It's part of our real Christian duty to do that and to grow in relationships. So this week I came across Luke chapter 13, verse 22, Luke 13, 22, and it's Jesus talking about the narrow door. So basically, he's going through the towns and villages, he's teaching, and one of the crowd sort of says to him, Lord, only a few people going to be saved. Now, this was topical right at the time because, you know, the Sadducees taught one thing about bodily resurrection and the underworld and afterlife, and then the Pharisees taught something a bit different, and the Zealots had another take, And so there really wasn't a lot of super settled doctrine about exactly what happens when you die and how you get saved. And Catholic Trivia 101, the whole study of the way that we are saved is called soteriology. I really like that word, always did, soteriology. Anyway, they throw this question, are many going to be saved? And Jesus says to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will be not able to. And he goes on to talk about, you know, the owner of the house goes to the door and the people say, you know, we know who you are. You know us. We're one of your people. And he says, you know, I have no idea who you are. You know, get away from me. And he sort of says, you know, that when the banquet of the kingdom of heaven begins, people come from the east and the west. And he said, the first will be last. And so I really sat with it, and I want you to go read it at some point. Just make a note to read Luke 13:22. Sit with it in silence. Read it a few times. And there's so much going on here, right? And how am I going to link it to Catholic education and Catholic teaching? Well, firstly is that, you know, Jesus is kind of saying here that not everybody is kind of, you know, he's sort of saying you really got to sort of work here. When we don't really have that term much. We kind of think that everybody who's nice gets to go to heaven, right? I mean, somewhere in your mind probably is this idea, which isn't really based on scripture or much of the church teaching, that everyone's going to heaven, right? Because, you know, God's nice and he wouldn't really send anybody to hell. And there's plenty of Catholics that are not even sure hell exists anyway, even though Pope Francis recently made it very clear that it's a real place. So don't we all kind of think everyone's going? And I want to draw your attention first. It's basically called universal salvation, right? It's this idea that everybody's going to heaven. Now, even Hitler, you know, people go, well, you know, we don't know Hitler's background and what drove him, and God sees everything and God's totally merciful. And, you know, if that's true, then morality is kind of irrelevant, isn't it? You know, if there is no kind of morality or there's no judgment, then morality becomes kind of irrelevant. You know, if there's no judgment, imagine if we had sort of no legal system. We had no judges in legal systems that actually, you know, punished anybody at any point. Then it would be pretty weird, wouldn't it? Like, it'd just be like, you do whatever you want, because whatever you wanted to do wouldn't matter because there was no consequences for it. And there was a great quote published in the New York Times Review of Books. It's very hard to find, but it's from a Polish poet and philosopher who was kind of juxtaposing the ideas of, you know, Marx's opium for the masses. You know, Marx sort of said that religion is this opium for the masses. And this poet said, you know what, there's a new opium for the masses. You know, this new opium for the masses is that, you know, that the idea that nothing you do will ever be judged. You know, he said in his poem, he said that for our betrayals, our greed, our murders, we are not going to be judged. He said that's the real opium, because then you can just cruise through life completely oblivious, you know, completely unanswerable for anything you do. So I want to just be sort of push up some of these great themes that is, you know, not everyone, is everyone going to heaven? Like, but let's think about in our schools. Have you ever thought about your students? You know, have you ever thought about the eternal destiny and future and salvation of the students in your class every day? Think about that. You know, scripture makes it clear that teachers are going to receive a harder judgment. That's in the New Testament. You know, your teachers will receive a harder judgment because we teach other people. And this is going to get a bit uncomfortable here, but are we not in some way responsible for the salvation and the spiritual growth and development of young people? Well, if we're not, then the obvious question is, well, who is? And we can throw it straight to parents or to the parish priest, but we know that many of our kids won't be attending Mass regularly. And many parents won't be fully formed either. So I just want to begin to place that idea with us as Catholic educators, not to burden you, not to freak you out, make you miserable, but to ask you that question. When you've got 25 or 30 people sitting in front of you, then do we have some accountability here for the eternal destiny of these young people? Now, I want to give you an idea here that the average Catholic young person who goes through our schools, listen to this, will spend roughly 21,000 hours in a Catholic school. You know, if you run sort of 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, over 40 weeks a year, and you run it out by sort of 15 years, 21,000 hours of Catholic education. But as many of us know, vast numbers of our students will leave our schools with no ongoing faith experience. And there was a really powerful article I read online this morning. There's currently 13 senators in the United States Senate who attended Catholic schools or Catholic universities and colleges. Now, that doesn't sound like a huge number, but remember that in the US there's less Catholic schools historically. But of the 13 US senators that attended Catholic primary schools, high schools, and colleges, 11 of those 13, 84%, have either directly supported abortion policy or voted for it. Hear that again. 84% of these senators who attended Catholic schools or Catholic universities voted to support in some way the continuation of abortion in the United States. So 21,000 hours, and somehow these men and women never got the teaching or the insight or the formation of the sanctity of human life, which is kind of, you know, Catholicity 101. So I don't want this to be a burden, and if I'm sounding like I'm judgmental and harsh, you know, it's not my intent here. It's just to get us to begin to think about the gravity of this situation. And this concept of the narrow door, like, let me put it this way. I just think with our students, I think something happened a long time ago where we decided that it was all too complex and too hard. That to really teach the faith, to catechize, that's why we devote whole weeks of content in the Going Deeper program to catechesis, to the teaching of the faith. Because so many teachers in schools, at least in this country, are like, well, I don't do that. I don't teach religious instruction. That's not my thing. So no, the church documents make it clear that we all do it. We all participate in a Catholic school. So I want to pitch an idea to you that have we just settled? Have we just settled for kind of, well, you know, we'll turn out nice kids? Our job is not to turn out nice kids. I mean, even Champagne, the founder of the great Marist order, he said, you know, his task is to turn out good citizens and good Christians. So for him, it was both, but at least he was clear that if they don't leave as devout, focused, you know, committed Christians, he said, our schools haven't worked. So this is kind of my DNA. This is the roots of the Going Deeper program, is that can we just continue allowing vast numbers of young people to come through our schools, never really encounter the person of Jesus because our liturgies are so bad, our religious instruction is so poor, and it's not to be judgmental, but why is that? Well, best I can tell, if the answer isn't with the staff, then I don't know where it is. Because if the staff are not converted and evangelized, then how can we possibly give anything to our students? How can we possibly give anything to our students? And the schools, you know, when I was teaching years ago, you know, I'd get up early. I was newly married and I'd go in early, and there was mass next to the school, and I'd go to mass, and there was me and four religious brothers, and never saw another soul. Nobody prayed. The sacraments were kind of this show that we put on one day at the start of the year and one day at the end of the year, and that was it. So I'm really convinced here that it's time to stop settling. It's time to stop looking at our students as just, you know, this factory model where we bring them in, we give them a state-based education where they learn basically how to become inputs for the economy. And I mean, get me right here. Yes, that's crucial. They have to be formed and educated so that they can go out and develop careers and be able to afford a family. And we want to do that. It's crucial. I'm not minimizing that. But at the same time, if they don't encounter Jesus in the sacraments and Jesus in the staff, then exactly where is that going to happen? So we talk about this idea of being living catechisms, and this is deep, this is constant in the Going Deeper program. The church documents refer to teachers as being living catechisms. So, you know, that we actually, that students learn the faith through watching us. If we love the faith, and if we love Jesus, then they'll see it over time and it'll be infectious. So a couple more points. This is not to burden you, right? I often talk in live seminars about Pelagius. It was one of the early heresies in the church, Pelagianism, which was kind of this monk called Pelagius, whose real name actually was Morgan, said that when Christ died on Calvary, he did everything necessary for us to overcome sin. And all we have to do is appropriate what he did into our lives, and we should be able to live perfectly in this life. And it's a heresy, because we don't have the capacity in ourselves to live perfectly. So in what I'm saying to you in this podcast, I'm not saying go out now and strive really hard. I mean, that's not going to work. I mean, it's weird. You're not going to do it just because I tell you, but here's what I think works. If you begin to pray, if you begin to read the Gospels, if you begin to learn about the sacraments and go to the sacraments, go to Mass, learn about the Mass, become more devout in your heart and love the Eucharist and go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and receive that healing and forgiveness so that you're transformed, you'll love more and you will serve more and your schools will be gradually transformed. So, you know, the narrow door, and kind of there's a paradox here, right? It's a both and. There's a beautiful line from Augustine, which I may have quoted before. It's very powerful. Listen to this. He said, "He who made you without your cooperation will not save you without your cooperation. He who made you without your cooperation will not save you without your cooperation." So God is never going to make you do anything. So Pelagius got it wrong. Pelagius said basically we do everything, and other people kind of say, well, we're just going to chill out and then let just God work and God will work it all out. We have to do both. Grace builds on nature, right? We cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit. So all you have to do as a teacher is put yourself in a position where grace can flow into your life. Hear that again. Just put yourself in a position where grace can flow into your life. Where is that? It's in the silence. It's in experiences of solitude. It's in reading the Gospels. It's in the Eucharist. It's in Eucharistic adoration. It's in prayer. If we won't do those things in our schools, then our schools will look no different to the options around them. End of sermon. That is the mantra. So I hope this has been useful. I want you to start to feel a holy and appropriate sense of accountability for the souls in our classroom. You know, I can't remember whether it was Don Bosco or De La Salle who famously said, "Give me souls, take all the rest. Give me souls." He had this passionate desire that no young person would be lost, that no young person would never know Christ. That was the same as what drove Champagne. You know, that no young person would die without knowing Christ. So friends, that is your great vocation and mission in Catholic education. Please share this podcast with people. We have to start getting these ideas into the ears and the hearts and the minds of more and more schools and leaders and bishops and priests and principals so that our schools really transform. Now, this is leaven, right? This is the whole biblical idea of leaven. If one teacher in a school begins to become really converted and evangelized, then they become leaven in that environment. If two teachers, then if five and 10 teachers in the school begin to really pray and grow, then so much changes. So please share this with people. If you're not currently a member of the Going Deeper program, click the link under this podcast or go to beingcatholic.com.au/deeper. That's beingcatholic.com.au/deeper and check out the Going Deeper program. It's an amazing weekly online video-based formation program, super quick PDF downloads. It's just awesome stuff, really great formation once a week so we can grow as staff. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Post a comment under here. Disagree, rant, rave, share your thoughts, but please help me get this message out there so we can really reach our young people. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Speak with you again next week.
Radio.org.au